Thank you very much, the Vice Chancellor, represented by the Deputy Vice Chancellor, Academic Affairs, Kenyatta University. All protocols observed. It is indeed a privilege to be standing here today to present a paper that is giving my experiences. It's one of those papers you don't have to read somewhere to write. You just talk about what you've gone through as a publisher, as a scholar, and as a researcher. So I'm here to tell you my story. The outline of my presentation is as you can see on the board. I'll give you the objectives of my talk. I'll give you some introduction, and you have to bear with me. I'll give you some overview of research activities I've done, because you cannot publish before you do any research. Under that, we shall look at open access and what the first speaker referred to as traditional journals. Then I'll talk about other publications, challenges, benefits, and I'll conclude and maybe give some recommendations. But before I go on, I would like to thank the organizers of this workshop to find me fit to share my experiences. I'm highly privileged and honored. Basically, I'm going to present an overview of my research activities in my discipline. I know many of you are biased towards medical issues, but I'm told that food is the first medicine before you go to the other medical solutions. I'm going to share my experiences in publishing, in journals, and I would want to talk about other communications of scientific information beyond the journals, which are also very important as far as I'm concerned as a researcher and as a scholar and as a Kenyan, an African. Now, in a way of introduction, I want to show you that picture. These are young Kenyans. You can see from the picture, they are yearning for knowledge. How are we going to communicate that knowledge, not just to those young people, but to all the stakeholders? We know that many of us talk to ourselves. But as much as we talk to ourselves as scholars, we need to talk to everybody. Now, I'll talk to you about my discipline. Then I'll talk to you about other things, because that's what has brought me here. And that's what has made me publish in the traditional journals and in a few open access journals. Horticulture is very rich and a colorful discipline. As you can see from that slide, it includes ornamental plants, flowers, fruits, and vegetables. And I want to say that many a times when Kenyans and Africans talk about food security, they normally leave out horticulture because they think a full stomach is enough. But I want to tell you that a full stomach is not enough if you want to be healthy and strong. Under that horticulture, we have indigenous horticultural plants, which is a new niche that we are trying to exploit. And in that niche, my specialty is vegetables. That is the area that I specialize in terms of my research, and I'm going to share a lot in that area. Now, because that is my specialty, I am showing you a vegetable. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but I'll call her a woman. And you can see the diversity of vegetables. Now, if you look at that, you will see leafy vegetables, fruit vegetables, and root vegetables, and so on. So there is a diversity of vegetables. And that's why I said if you eat that diversity of vegetables, you'll be very healthy and you'll reduce the visits to the medical centers and care or practitioners. I want also to tell you, in a way of introduction, the role of agriculture, of horticulture in Kenya and in Africa. Horticulture, as a discipline and as a sector, has grown to become the most vibrant forex earner and employer in many countries in Africa, especially Kenya. For example, in Kenya, about 20% of horticulture produce is exported, and it brings in, for example, in 2008, 74 billion Kenya shillings. Now, horticulture contributes to nutrition and health benefits. Beauty and aesthetics, there's a therapy. They say that there's green therapy. If you are depressed, you walk in a horticultural establishment. It has been shown that scientifically that it will reduce your depression. Now, indigenous crops are undervalued or have been undervalued and sold only in domestic markets, and very little is exported. But the demand is largely dissatisfied at this moment. Now, I want to just tell you something about African indigenous vegetables. These vegetables are largely marginalized. They are positioned, or they have been positioned, as weeds, as reflected in their names, like spiderweed, pigweed. Those of you who come from Africa should be able to recognize some of those vegetables. Now, before even I talk about publishing whatever, I must highlight, why are we publishing? So I have to say something about food security and nutrition that relates the work I'm going to talk about, publications. Half the population in Africa live below $1 a day. Most malnourished people in the world are found in Africa. There's hunger, malnutrition, and poor health. And in Kenya, 5.6 million people are food insecure. 50% of under fives are malnourished. Iron deficiency anemia is a subject of concern. Now, the paradox is Africa and Kenya is endowed with some resources we call horticultural biodiversity or agricultural biodiversity, like African indigenous vegetables. Now, how can we reposition these marginalized crops or commodities so that they can play a pivotal role in alleviating the non-African problems that include poverty, hunger, and diseases? What is the role of research? How do we communicate research findings to all stakeholders so that our research can contribute to solving our problems, besides helping us get promotions to be professors and high-caliber researchers? What is the role and importance of publishing? Why publish? How and where? How, where, and what to publish? Whom are we targeting? Those are questions each one of us in this room has to ask. I may not have answers. I will only share my experiences. Now, before I tell you what I have published, my experiences, I must tell you what I have been searching on, because you must research before you publish in those journals that the first speaker talked about. And you have to do quality research. So I'll just tell you what I have been up to in my career before I tell you about the publishing and the challenges I faced as a scholar and as a professional, as an African and as a Kenyan. Now, I have done research in my area of interest in vegetables, but I deliberately focused in a niche area called African indigenous vegetables. Why? Because, as I said earlier, most people in Africa are malnourished, yet these vegetables have a high nutritive value micronutrient dense, high content of antioxidants. Now, antioxidants are those chemicals that are found in vegetables that will clean your system and make you less predisposed to diseases, lifestyle diseases like cancer, diabetes, etc. They have a high medicinal value and health benefits. They are well adapted to local conditions. When you talk about climate change and stress, many of these vegetables or crops originating from Africa could play a pivotal role in solving or withstand mitigating climate change challenges. They have several agronomic advantages. They can do well under tropical conditions. They can do well under sustainable production systems. And they can withstand some stresses, of which many of the exotic crops cannot. Needless to add, these vegetables have an income generation potential. And this potential has not been exploited due to neglect, stigmatization, lack of awareness of their potential and values, lack of quality seed, inadequate research, among other factors. Now, because of this, I initiated a program in the 1990s. The aim and the goal and the aim of the program was, first, the goal was to contribute to alleviation of poverty, food insecurity, malnutrition, and poverty in Kenya and other African countries by raising the status of African indigenous vegetables. The aim was to promote sustainable production and utilization of these vegetables. In our research, because it was a research I did with other stakeholders, we were able to identify priority indigenous vegetables in Kenya. As indicated there, Kisumu area, we found out which one are the main priority vegetables that could play a role in malnutrition alleviation and income generation that is contributing to poverty alleviation. So we did that for the Kisumu area and Nairobi area, in general terms, Western Kenya and Central Kenya. Our work, which as I've said, has been on and still going on, also identified the priority vegetables in the East African region or Lake Victoria region. And from this slide, you can see in Uganda, we identified the priority vegetables. The same we did for Tanzania and, of course, Kenya. We didn't stop there. We went beyond Kenya, East Africa, and went to Sub-Saharan Africa to identify this commodity that we want to promote. So we identified these vegetables in West Africa, the priority ones in East Africa and Southern Africa. Now, some of the vegetables are pictorially represented there, a sample of which that we identified in the three categories, East Africa, Kenya, and Africa at large. Now, these vegetables, as I said earlier, have largely been considered as weeds, poor man's food. Time before we did the promotion, some people would hide to go and buy them and eat them because they were always associated with the poor. But now, the story is different. Now, in my research, we did other things beyond just identifying these vegetables. We did germplasm collection and evaluation, seed bulking, processing and packaging, characterization, and agronomic studies. All this was geared towards promotion of these vegetables so that they can contribute the livelihoods of the common people in Kenya and in Africa. Other activities included advocacy and outreach, capacity building, including undergraduate and postgraduate students, farmers, including community-based organizations and other stakeholders, and we even capacity build policymakers, because, as I said at the beginning, we researchers, we scholars, we speak to ourselves, we leave out major stakeholders like policymakers. That boils down to communication beyond journals and publications. So in the pictures, it's just a pictorial representation of some of the activities in terms of advocacy, outreach, and capacity building. Beyond that, there was an aspect of dissemination of the findings that we got from our research over a decade or and more. This slide shows some of the dissemination materials that was developed to communicate scientific findings to reach various stakeholders. So you can see some leaflets, even DVD and other publications targeting a variety of stakeholders. Now, in a nutshell, from that research that I've highly summarized, I want just to highlight some of the impacts and effects of that research just on African indigenous vegetables. That research has led to availability to some degree of quality seed, which was a problem when we started the research 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I think about 20 years ago. There has been availability of dissemination materials, not just for fellow researchers, students, and scholars, but also for the farmers. We have done leaflets in terms of production of these vegetables, and we have also done recipes because we wanted to complete the story so that we don't just do research and have it, leave it hanging. What has that made or contributed? This availability of these vegetables now in supermarkets like Nakumat. As you can see, one of the pictures below, there's a lady there in blue, in that is Nakumat, Mombasa Road. Then we have some products, number 5. And in a way, we have contributed to a healthy nation, Kenya, and maybe some African countries. Now, what was the role of publications and communications in what I've just said? Here, I'm just showing you a summary of some of the publications and communications that I have put in place. I know some of these publications have made me whom I am, but I'm more proud of what these publications or communications have done in changing livelihoods of people in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and other African countries. And that's why I have listed some of the publications beyond the journals, traditional journals and open access journals, which are very important, as we have been told. But what I'm saying is we need to go beyond just the journals. We need to do publications that we can reach a diversity of stakeholders so that we can change lives in Africa and even beyond. So in that, I've had public lectures, one thesis. Categorized as a publication. Strictly speaking, it may not be a publication. It's something which is written. It is grey literature. it is lying in our libraries, it could contribute to institutional repositories. Like in my institution, Jomo Kenyatta, actually we have picked up that repository. So I hope some of the theses, including mine, could be put on open access. They have been lying there gathering dust. But it's work we have done, many of us have done in Africa and even outside Africa, that could be holding some of the solutions to our problems. Books and book chapters, we have dissemination leaflets, technical reports, technical books and booklets, magazine, newspaper articles, audios and videos, that is documentaries, radio and TV, scientific refereed conference papers, scientific refereed journal papers, is a repetition of scientific. And I can post off 135 applications. But out of that, how many of those are reaching the people who really need them? And that's why I didn't want to confine myself to the last two. And some of the publications, for example, the leaflets and the audios and even just newspaper articles, to me, have had a more impact in changing livelihoods more than the scientific papers, which are very technical, which is good. It's good to have quality. But I thought I needed to translate some of that information into a form readily usable by my clients, where my clients are farmers, policymakers, students, and fellow researchers. Now, in publishing in journals, let me confine myself, just make a comment there. Most of my publications have been published in university-run journals. The second category is African journals. These are journals mainly run by African organizations, some of which have been open access, and some have been traditional kind of journals as described by the first speaker. And then a few international journals. And I'm saying that less than 10% of my work has been published in international journals. Why? I want to go backwards. No, sorry. It is forward. I'll give you the reason just at the end. And I've just picked a few of the journals and who runs them, just to give you a feel of what we had, what I had to go through. So most of the journals, the ones which have the two stars, are the main journals in which my papers were accepted. Now, I want to say that my papers were not published in other so-called international journals or high-impact journals, not because the work was any lesser, but from some of the communications, I was told that the work, in fact, to be specific, there is a paper I wrote from my MSc thesis, which was looking at some of the anti-nutrients that occur in kale, sukuma wiki. Sukuma wiki is a very popular vegetable in Kenya. Everybody eats it. So we wanted to see, there had been claims that there are some antioxidant, some anti-nutrient factors like nitrates, which may cause a disease called, which causes anemia because it disables the efficient working of the hemoglobin. Now, Scientia Horticulture then told me that they don't believe or they didn't feel that my work was done in a good laboratory. So they cannot trust the findings. And they were very good findings anyway. So I did publish, I didn't give up. That paper, I published it in Discovery and Innovation number 3. Discovery and Innovation, because I said, yeah, okay, they don't want that paper. I can't just keep it in the closet. I have to share it to some degree. So that paper, that journal is run by African Academy of Sciences. Euphytica. Scientia Horticulture, it was a long time ago because it was my master's. I think it was in the 90s or even 80s. Now, most recently, Euphytica is an internationally recognized journal. Actually, I even review for them. I sent them a paper, I think this year or last year, on African indigenous vegetables. The reason I was given why they can't publish my paper is because they don't think that is good for their readership. I don't know what that meant. It was not good for their readership. So despite the fact that if I review for them, that means they recognize me as a scholar, as a scientist. But my work cannot be published in their journal. So I swallowed the bitter pill and decided to publish that paper elsewhere. Our own University of Nairobi Press, this is not the first time I'm talking about it. If you are from Nairobi University Press, please pardon me, but I have to say this. I wrote a manuscript with a colleague. It has been reviewed. It has been accepted. But they want $500,000 for it to be published. So me and my colleague, we have been raising money. I think we have paid something halfway or something, but they won't publish the paper, the manuscript, until we pay that money. I want to talk about other publications and communications. I have talked about leaflets and brochures. Now I want to talk about other communications, because we just don't have to publish in high impact journals or open access. In addition, we need to also use other means of communication of our scientific findings for them to have impact. So in my work, I have looked for other alternatives, what we call oral media. Oral media basically use song, dance, and drama to pass impact points to farmers and end users. We have used that communication channel. Print media. I have talked to almost all the papers about African indigenous vegetables, the Standard, the Nation, the Star, the Citizen. I think they have published many of that. And it has reached more people. I have got people from the grassroots calling me, saying, we have seen you this information in the media. Technical reports with limited usage. Exhibition and shows is another way I have, with my group, with my team, we have communicated our findings. Now, in addition to this, what is shown there, we have also talked to the other media houses. I've been to TV, I've been on radio. So scientists, what I'm telling you and scholars, whatever area you're working on, we need to communicate to everybody. Some challenges and that I've experienced. The first challenge is rejection of my articles and manuscripts. That happens to many of us. So what I'm talking about, I'm sure many of you can associate or attest to what I'm saying. Delays in the past until recently, delays in having articles published. You have to wait. You had to wait then before we talk about the open access that is now helping solve the problem. As we were told in the earlier in this session, and it's something we need to embrace without hesitation. Rejection on the basis of where the research was done. Rejection on the basis of topic, not good for wider readership. Because many people from other countries or from other regions still look at African indigenous vegetables as weeds. In fact, to quote or to reemphasize that point, I did a project proposal and sent to an international fund. They said, your proposal is very good, but you are talking about weeds. I wish you are talking about tomatoes or onions. I told me they are not weeds. These are things that have made the African strong and never used to visit a doctor until you brought in this lifestyle that is killing all of us. Publication fee not affordable. Now, many of you from Kenya know how much a professor earns. Of course, much less than a politician. I cannot afford $500,000 to publish a paper. I have to sacrifice a lot. This is now locally. International journals require even more for payment. So that has made me actually not, me and many other African researchers, not to publish in those good journals, high impact journals. But we should not give up. Now, local journals not having adequate capacity and resources and even distribution because they are not well funded. So they limit the distribution and the readership of what they contain. So open access is a real welcome thing to even put some of the publications that have been in the traditional journals as open access in institutional repositories. In life, there's always good and bad. You have to balance. I wish to talk about some of the benefits I have experienced because of my publication. Of course, with the limited publication in open access, I've been able to disseminate information to end users. I have shared my knowledge. I have contributed to increased reference material for scholars and researchers in my area of specialization. I have contributed to information and knowledge development. I have to say that I'm one of the pioneering scientists that have done work on African indigenous vegetables until as I speak now, we shall be talking about exporting them and getting products from them. And I'm happy to have done that, but there's more to be done. And the information has, in the recent past, caught the global eye because of open access, which I only started publishing open access recently. I believe that I'm also here because I was able to share my information on open access and I get a lot of feedback. So it is a satisfying thing for a researcher to be consulted because many times if you are not read, nobody will consult you and you will die with the knowledge. Visibility as a scholar and a researcher. Professional advancement is a benefit if you publish your work. And as I said, invitations to conferences as keynote speaker. And also, lastly, I have had recognition and rewards, or awards, if you like, because of my publication. Although it has its challenges, I wish to do more, but there is already benefits that I'm recognizing and appreciating because of publishing this work in both traditional journals and open access. Now, I just want to show you some of the recognitions and awards that I have received for my work. And I believe I received these awards and recognitions because I not only I did the work, we did the work, but because I was able to communicate the work to the stakeholders through whatever means. So the first one is Certificate of Excellence in Communicating My Research Work. I think that was soon after I finished my PhD. I got a recognition from CGIAR in 2007 because of my pioneering work as a team member in the area of African indigenous vegetables. It was for women and men. I was the first woman there, but I was the third overall in Africa. Why? Because I have published, and I have not just published in the journals, but I've published and shared my information in various ways. And lastly, African Union got the Basic Sciences Award. Now, why were they picked? The criteria was, what have you published? And they were asking you, have you published in high-impact journals? And I tried to look through my publications. There were not very many. So we need to do more. But even those few, I happen to be the best. What about the others? There's still room for improvement. There is need to promote, to help, to assist African scientists to publish more and make their work known. Now, in a way of conclusion, scientific research findings must be effectively communicated to the public for impact. Publications are beneficial to the researcher, readers, and the public at large. Researchers and scholars should make efforts to publish in open access local and international journals. You've been told in the first presentation how. I encourage all of us to take advantage of that because things have changed drastically. It's not like the time I was growing up as a scholar. Researchers should partner with other stakeholders to repackage information to suit diverse readership. I just want to reemphasize, in one conference last year, organized by the National Council of Science and Technology of Kenya, one renowned researcher told me, it is not your work to repackage the information for the end user. I agreed with her, she was a lady, but I said, I have to do something. So we cannot do it, but we need to collaborate with the relevant people to repackage some of the information for the end users. Otherwise, our research will not have impact, even if they are in open access and technical terms. So that open access should include simplified packages and leaflets. It should also include policy briefs. Policymakers are slippery people. They have no time to read the scientific jargon. So put something, one page, and use it to promote and science and your work. Deliberate efforts should be made and strategies put in place to encourage scholars and researchers to publish in open access, international journals as well. And I know that that is already happening from this workshop, and the sky will be the limit, I believe. high-impact journals should reconsider what impact really means. How much they should consider how much of the published material is accessible to the end user and having impact on the livelihoods or change of policy, change of lifestyle, change of paradigm shift. Publication of diverse, accessible, appropriate, and user-friendly scientific materials must play its pivotal role to solve the African problems of poverty, food insecurity, malnutrition, among others. Open access, therefore, will contribute immensely in this endeavor to reach or to achieve Millennium Development Goals. That one is missing something. Knowledge will drive the economies of countries, continents, and the world. So there should be capacity building in knowledge management. And open access publishing and establishment of institutional repositories is one way of knowledge management. And capacity building needs to be done for us, scientists and all other stakeholders. At this juncture, I wish to acknowledge Open Access Africa Biomed Central, organizers of this workshop, for inviting me, and all those you see there have contributed in one way or another to what I've just told you this morning. Asante sana, thank you. Danke schön, muchas gracias, muita obrigado, merci beaucoup.